It's great to be back on stage. I'm pleased to say that today I don't have the rod with me that I seem to have had the last couple of times I preached, which was more of a kind of discipline type message. Today, I think anyway, good news message. Hopefully we'll leave this place into our Mexican Feast of Nations feeling full of joy and amped from what I'm sharing about. So we're continuing our series in his presence. Today is part five. It's a huge privilege to be sharing with you, of course. We're continuing our voyage into his presence, reminding and encouraging ourselves that the Lord will never leave us or forsake us. He longs for us to be in his presence, not just on a Sunday morning, but every day, 24/7. So far in the first four parts of this series, series in his presence, we've covered the following parts. So in part one, Mark taught us on walking in his presence. We saw that as he did for Abraham, he will provide. And as he did for Moses, he will change our position. And as he did for Samuel, he will give us purpose. And as he did for David, he will reward our praise. And as he was in the tabernacle, he will affect our place. In part two, Mark again, he looked at how being in his presence induces worship, showing us that we've been created for worship, and God is seeking worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. In part three, Michael led us through experiencing his presence, showing us how we can experience joy and intimacy and freedom in his presence. And last week, in part four, Mark looked at how and why we should be bold to ask big asks of God. And he looked at how God responds to our asks and how big asks bring big rewards. So today in part five, I want to look at how we can be in his presence wherever we go and whatever we do. Some of you will know that I travel quite a lot with my job. In fact, in about 7 hours' time, I will be on a plane to Los Angeles. I'm traveling again next week and the week after. So it's part of the joys of my job. I don't complain about it. It's a great privilege to go to places far and wide with my work. But one of the things that always impacts me when I travel is that, yeah, I'm leaving the family behind, and I'm leaving church behind, and you know, the everyday normal things of life that we are used to get left behind. And so it is a huge comfort to me to be assured that it doesn't matter where I am, who I'm talking to, what I'm doing, that God's presence is with me. So when Mark asked, we're doing a series in his presence, have you got any ideas, things that you would like to talk about? I was very keen to speak on this topic of wherever we go and whatever we do. So our core scripture, which Mark used in his first part on this, about walking in his presence, is once again Psalm 139. And looking at verses 1 to 12, I'm reading today from the New Living Translation. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down and stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. Second part. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to the heaven, you are there. And if I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, and if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day, and darkness and light are the same to you. Wonderful, wonderful promise. How many of us, my question this morning, how many of us find it easier to feel his presence when we come to church on a Sunday morning? And why is that? Perhaps it's the music, perhaps it's the people, or maybe it's the word that is shared, or the prayer meeting before the service, or the start of our service. So that's what's called cognitive recognition. And cognition is the mental action or process of acquiring knowledge and understanding through thought, experience, and the senses. Cognitive recognition is basically that our mind is stimulated to remember by recognizing the circumstances or surroundings in which those things have taken place before. The good news for us is that being in God's presence is not conditional on cognitive recognition. Because when we receive Jesus as Lord in our lives, our minds are renewed, and God is with us and in us and through us by Holy Spirit 24/7. So today, I want to share on how we can be sure of his presence wherever we go and whatever we are doing. I have various testimonies to share from members of the leadership team that I asked if they could just give me some testimonies of how they have experienced his presence in different circumstances and different places. And then, the purpose of that is just to encourage us that this is real. It happens every day, and sometimes in unexpected places and timing. But I want to start by looking at how we can be sure of his presence and what can help us be sure of his presence wherever we are and whatever we're doing. And you're going to find these fairly obvious. You're going to find them like, I've seen this before, or hasn't this been said before? Well, yes, and that's kind of the point. So the first thing is to read his word. Psalm 119, verse 160, very simply says, all your words are true. What that does for us is it allows us to trust that what God says in his word about himself, about his love for us, and about his presence being with us is true. The more time we spend in his word, the more we see the true God, the truth of his word, and his promises for our lives. I am constantly amazed how often when I read his word, I'm reminded of how things that I'm reading about have happened in my life, how I've experienced the truth of his word in my life. It's why our testimonies are so powerful, because they reinforce the truth of his word by bringing it to reality in our lives. Revelation 12, verse 11, tells us that Satan was overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power of the testimonies of those who gave their lives for their faith. I like to think that whenever we share a testimony, we take another step towards the eternal defeat of Satan. When we have his word at hand, we can step out of the boat into his presence because we know that his word is true. When we spend time in his word, we get to understand God's character more and more. We get to understand that he loves us, that he forgives us, he has forgiven us, that he never leaves us or forsakes us. And when we have these things embedded in our heart, we can tap into him wherever we are and whatever we are doing. The second point is to pray. My point here really is quite simple. Jesus prayed a lot, and so we need to pray a lot. Psalm 145, verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." Knowing God's word helps us to pray in truth. And as the scripture says, he will be close to us when we call on him in truth. One of the easiest ways I find to pray is by speaking scripture. A single verse or simply his name. I find that by declaring the truth of his word in prayer, I'm taken into his presence in a way that focuses my mind on him and his glory. That is why I would encourage you to do your best to be here at the start of our service at 10 a.m. when we meet corporately to pray. And Psalm 91, verse 15 says, "I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence, even in your time of pressure and trouble." And times of pressure and trouble come. We're all aware of that. We walk through the valleys and we climb the mountains. But the great thing about what God says in his word is that his word is true. And that when we cry for help in those times of trouble and pressure, he will answer our cry. And you will find and feel his presence near to you. Now, there are some in this family who are just blessed with the way that they pray, an ability to pray in truth. And it comes very basically from their knowledge of the word. Now, I'm just choosing Miss Jen because when she prays, bam, I'm there. So I don't know if Miss Jen's here, but maybe she's on kids' church. Anyway, if you have the privilege of hearing Jen Ray's pray, I can promise you that it is always truth-centered. She declares who God is using scripture, very simply. And I have to say, within 4 or 5 words of her prayers, I'm like instantly focused on who God is. I'm in his presence. And she's not alone, of course. But, you know, I love the way that many people in this body pray. But when we make a simple declaration of his word in our prayers, it brings his presence, and we feel his presence tangibly in us. The third thing is to praise him. Now, we know that reading his word and praying is all part of worship. But I'm referring to the musical side of worship and praising our King. And guess what? When we spend time in his word and when we spend time in conversation with Jesus in prayer, there's a joy that comes from praising him in spirit and in truth. So I'm going to do something slightly different now. I'm actually going to play a song during the middle of my preach. This is a song that I love to listen to. It's gospel. What I love about gospel music, if you've never really listened to it, is that it is largely based on scriptural truth. And I like this song because it just gives me the need to shout out in praise. So, Cherie, when you're ready, thank you.
There's a praise on the inside that I can't keep to myself. A holler stirring up from the depths of my soul. So excuse me if I seem a little giddy or maybe even strange, but praise is the way. There's a praise on the inside that I
So, I don't know about you, but when I listen to that song, I get into trouble because I normally listen to it on the train on the way to work. And people start looking at me a little strange because I just can't help but just like, yes, Lord, come on. So I love this song. But you know, there is a praise on the inside. God made us to worship him. We all have a praise on the inside. And one of the lines I love in this song is that you ain't really praised unless you praised him from your belly. And that's just so cool because it's so true. I think all of us, when we've got ourselves into a place where we are just lost in worship, you know, it's coming from our belly. It's coming from the inside and it's coming out. And it's just a great way for us to be in his presence. If, it doesn't have to be gospel music. It just does it for me sometimes. But, you know, there's a huge variety of music. But I really hope that you would use the medium of music to just switch off from the world and get lost in his presence, because it is a great way to bring him close to you. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13 says, "If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." I love that. When we do these things, when we pray, when we're in his word, when we're praising him, if we look for him wholeheartedly, we'll find him. His presence will be with us. If I may, I would just recommend when you're choosing songs to listen to, choose songs that speak of Jesus, that declare who he is, what he's done for us, and what he's going to come again to do. Acts 4 verse 12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." There is power in the name of Jesus. When we listen to music, when we worship, declaring the name of Jesus, there is power. His presence is around us, and the power of his presence is through us and around us. So finally, making ourselves available for him. There's so much in life that demands our time and our attention. I had the privilege on Friday night of spending some time with the youth. What a great and inspiring group these young men and women are. We had a little bit of fun using the iPhone stats. Those of you who got iPhones may have seen the screen time stats that you can find on the iPhone. And we had a little bit of fun being honest and telling each other how many hours we had spent on our phone that day, or as an average over the previous 7 days. Believe me, it was quite revealing. But what it did was, you know, it reminded us how easy it is to literally spend hours and hours doing things on something like a phone. And, you know, I guess my point here is that these aren't bad things. We all need downtime. We all need to absorb the information that's being thrown at us. But there is a time that we need to set aside to be available to God, to be in a place where we can walk into his presence. We need to focus on him. We need to focus on who he is. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." We need to make ourselves available to be in his presence, to experience him wherever we are and whatever we are doing. Prioritize some time so that you can spend time in his word, in prayer, and in praise, and you will be assured of his presence. So as I mentioned earlier, I asked some of the leadership team to share some testimonies of how his presence has been with them, how they've felt his presence in times and places that were just part of doing life, not just solely here on a Sunday morning. I hope that they will show you the reality of his presence being with us in everyday life. I did want to clarify that they haven't experienced his presence because they're on the leadership team. But I will say that the people on the leadership team do spend time in his word, they do spend time in prayer, and they do spend time in praise. And they have made themselves available. And really, because they do that, because they've made themselves available, and because they prioritize time with God, spending time with Jesus, he is using them in this place to do what he has called them to do. We are all called to be instruments in his hands. We're all called to be instruments to share the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's made a whole lot easier by the knowledge that his presence is with us wherever we go. So the first one, being available, or just the first couple that I'm looking at, is being available. So these are the testimonies. More often than not, as I go about my day, I find myself in the company of strangers and people in the community and beyond, when the Holy Spirit, I discover mostly afterwards, has set me up to love on them and to do his bidding at the very time he has ordained it. So I've concluded that whatever it is that he has wanted to express through me is him loving his people at that specific time, to show them their extreme value to him, just using my arms and all words. I have examples of these happenings, and in the Lord's grace, he sometimes lets me know what it is that he's done, and sometimes not. But all the while, I've known that he's chosen to use me wherever, whenever. When I grasp the enormity of the Lord wanting to use me, and that he is with me, I just knew that he'd given me an agape love for people. He did tell me that prophetically. And the joy I feel in loving people is sometimes overwhelming, and no bearing whatsoever on where my head or heart are at that time. It's something he has deposited in me for his specific purposes, and I just do what comes naturally because it's him. When I feel him physically, it's like a hot tingling covering that starts in my head and moves to my arms. That can happen anytime, any place. Oh, and I cry. When I feel moved by him, I cry a lot. So what about the workplace? For sure, when I'm teaching and a hush comes over a previously noisy classroom, I know it is the presence of the Lord, and I thank God. Or this, I had to have a really difficult conversation with a client. I wonder how many of us have had that situation, where the natural outcome could have been quite volatile. I was asking Holy Spirit for his presence to fill the meeting room I was going to be meeting with the client in, and give me the right words, wisdom, and peace to be able to say what I needed to. And for the next hour, while meeting with the client, he did more than I could have asked or hoped for. There was such a sense of his peace in the room, as well as how he led our conversation, where acknowledgement and responsibility was taken, as well as agreement to the final decision that was being made. The client actually thanked me at the end of the meeting, despite the difficult conversation we had to have, and I walked away in awe of God. His presence of peace filled my thoughts, my heart, my words, and that room that day that resulted in hope for a family. And these next ones, these last ones, are just about doing life. I was dropping off some things to Valley Village, and as the young man helping me took the box, I felt God say, "Tell him that I have bigger plans than this for his future." When he came back to give me my coupon, I told him that I was a Jesus follower and felt God wanted to tell him that he had a plan for his life. I shared what God had put on my heart, and as I spoke to him, I noticed his name tag said Isaiah. I asked him if he knew who he was named after. We were able to talk, and I asked him if I could pray for him. He said yes, and I was able to pray with him and give him a hug before I went on my way. He was very grateful. I was at an auction when one of the employees came out using a crutch. I asked him if I could pray for him, and he said yes. Pretty simple. I prayed, and he was surprised to see his pain go from a 10 to a 2. We prayed several times more. He put his crutch away. He told the other people there that he had been healed. He then called to one of his co-workers who had back problems and told him he should let me pray for him. I asked if I could, and he said, yes, please. I felt God say to pray for peace. I also felt God give me a word of knowledge that he said was correct. As I prayed, his countenance changed. He looked at me and said that he felt something inside. I explained that Jesus was touching him. He tested his back and said it felt somewhat better, but not completely healed. He told me he had scoliosis. The other people watched, and the gentleman who had already been healed was very excited and kept telling people they should let me pray for them. It's an interesting turnout for your day. And then the last one. I was walking up our street. This is just doing life, people. This is just being available in every day. And there were utility workers on the sidewalk working. As I was walking past, I said hello. They said hello back. I had gone 3 or 4 meters when I felt God say to go and give one of them a word of knowledge. I did so and began to speak with him. He was very focused on what I was saying and nodding and confirming what I said. The other worker stood there and watched. I explained that I was a Jesus follower and that he loves them and sometimes uses me to speak to people. The second man said that what I was saying about his co-worker was true. I asked him if he wanted to know what Jesus thought of him. He said yes. So I asked Jesus what was in his heart for this man. I was able to speak with him as well and then prayed for them. I continued up the street and went into the house. It's as simple as that, everyone. So God, he doesn't leave us. He's with us. You may feel that you haven't experienced his presence, but hopefully today I've given you some handles that you can grab hold of and just practice. Practice experiencing his presence. Practice hearing his voice. Practice in the comfort of your own home, just praying or just reading his word or just praising him in worship and sensing his presence, knowing what it is to know that God is with you and around you. And then when you feel up to it, you can take it into your workplace. You can take it on the street when you're just doing life, or you can take it shopping. You can take it anywhere you go, wherever you are. I hope it's been helpful in showing that God never leaves us or forsakes us. He loves us all, and he wants the light of Jesus to shine through us all the time by his presence anywhere we are. My concluding scripture, John 14, verse 16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." It doesn't say to be with you on a Sunday morning when you've been in prayer, when you've worshiped, when you're listening to the word. It says to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So it doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing, his presence will be with us.